Let's all stand together. And let's pray today, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I will hear and apply a truth to my life that I may be transformed into His image. You may be seated. Mike is going to come and share with us this morning. And I think you'll be blessed by this.
As Pastor has been, it's on. As Pastor has been teaching the last couple of weeks, talking about the soul and the mind and the body, and the emotions and feelings and all these kinds of things, and he's headed in a direction for a series for us that I'm really excited about. But it was funny because the other week I was sitting there and said, you know, Lord, something you put inside of me sure would be good to kind of insert in here. And he asked me about it, and then Michelle confirmed, not even knowing we had discussed, for me to share this word. And I'm just so excited. I began years ago to study about grace and to study the word grace and to study about the grace of God and to see about the grace of God. And these are my notes that I wrote on grace. So there's a lot of things about grace that I think we haven't touched. And I'm excited that we're going to do that this morning. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And I'm going to be reading out of the New King James and a little bit out of the Amplified, but you can follow me along with what you have there. And before we go any further, let's pray one more time, okay? Lord, I just thank you for this day. And Lord, that before the foundation of the world, you knew each one of us would be here today. And there's a reason for that. You knew that each one of us had something that you wanted to deposit on the inside of us. There's something for each one of us today. And Lord, our desire is, Lord, not to miss it. And Lord, we want to hear what you have to say to the church. And not only do we want to hear, but we want to be found faithful to be doers of that word. And Lord, we open ourselves up now to hear by the Spirit. Teach us by the Spirit. And let us leave this place as we've been leaving in the last, since I've been here, Lord, saying, God, it's been good to have been in the house of the Lord today. We thank you for that. Everybody that agreed said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's read Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm going to read verses 8 and 9. It says this, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In the New Testament, grace is referred to 121 times. Grace is referred to in the New Testament 121 times. Now, I also love to talk about faith. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. And I think faith is a very important thing to understand. Faith is actually referred to 230 times in the New Testament. So faith and grace. And as we're going through here, I'm going to say some things, a lot of things about grace, but I'm going to come back a little bit and talk a little about faith. In the Amplified Bible, Ephesians here says this, for it is by free grace. For it is by free grace, God's unmerited favor, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation. Through your faith. And this salvation is not of yourselves, of your own doing. It came not through your own striving, but it is the gift of God. Not because of words, not the fulfillment of law's demands, lest any man should boast. It is not the result of what anyone can possibly do. So no one can pride himself in it or take glory to himself. So we need to understand that grace is a gift. Grace is a gift. Now the most popular definition and known definition of grace is that it is the unmerited favor of God. And it is that. The unmerited, I'm going to explain that. The unmerited favor of God. The unmerited favor means there's nothing that touches it. It is, and it also means there's nothing that I can do in order to achieve it. It's unmerited. I didn't do anything. God's grace just came. It's the unmerited favor of God. So We've all heard that. We all believe that. We all know that. I'm going to give us three more definitions today of what the grace of God is. If we get these three definitions on the inside of us, then I totally believe that as Pastor comes and shares this word that's going to happen in the next several weeks, that it's going to lay a foundation for us to receive something. God's on His move in our midst. God is doing something in our midst. And I believe there's no doubt in my mind that God's going to show Himself mightily in our behalf and in our midst. And it's as we understand the grace of God that it helps us to understand how that happens. Exactly. The world says, and not just the world, a lot of times in the church, and a lot of maybe even some folks here, feel like that when I got saved, that's when grace had its work in my life. And isn't it amazing how many times in scriptures, when God does something, we take, okay, God did that, that was the work of God, and so that it happened, and I got it, and so I'm moving forward, and that's the last time that work happens in my life. But the things I've learned about God is whatever He begins with, He will continue with. You can't just say, well, God did that and it's over with. No, God's continuing to do that. The thing about God is He's eternal. And everything about God is eternal. So we got saved by grace, by the unmerited favor of God. He did something for us that we didn't do anything to get. There was nothing I said, nothing I did. See, on the inside of every one of us, there is a place, there is a part of God, I call it an unction of God, that wants God. There is something on the inside of us that wants God. Even atheists have an unction. It's there. God designed us that way. And there comes a time when Jesus finds us, and that unction becomes exposed, and we receive Christ by grace. And the greatest miracle, people say, you know, miracles don't still happen. The greatest miracle that's ever happened, has happened, and will ever happen, is happening, and will ever happen, is when one person is transformed from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. The day I became born again, a miracle happened. I became brand new. I needed it. I desired it. And the grace of God did it. I didn't do it. The grace of God, the unmerited favor of God, did that grace. And that day, grace worked, but grace didn't stop there. Right. That's probably one of the most important things I'll say today, yeah, is that when grace began, it didn't just stop there, but grace is going to continue until, I believe, grace is going to continue till we see Jesus face to face. And we're probably going to see the grace of God even continue when we get in heaven.
Yeah.
Because everything about God is eternal. Is eternal. You know, some people talk about heaven being a place to rest. Some people talk about a place where heaven's just going to be a place where we're just going to play music and relax and just have a good time, and things are going to be just kind of nice. And I believe that what we begin here, we're going to continue throughout eternity, because there's so much about God to learn and to know that even once we leave this place, we're going to continue to learn and know about God. And so we'll continue to learn and know about the grace of God. Okay, let me give you this first definition on grace. Okay? This will be interesting.
Yeah.
Now, this definition comes out of Strong's Concordance. It is this: that grace is the divine influence of God upon the heart, and then its reflection, that divine influence's reflection in a person's life. When I began to think about grace, and I began to study grace, and I began to see this definition. Okay, grace is the unmerited favor of God, but it's also the divine influence of God. Can you say that with me? The divine influence of God. You see, there's something about God that when grace is imparted into our lives, that the very divine influence of God comes upon our heart, and it reflects in the necessary in these areas of our lives. Now, when I began to study this, believe me or not, it was this long ago, was when the movies, the first trilogy of Star Wars started. And I had young children then, and they wanted to see Star Wars, and so we could go to the movies and see Star Wars. And I was studying this definition of grace, the divine influence of God upon my heart and its reflection in my life. And I began, it was like, I saw, it was almost like, and I guess Star Wars kind of helped me think in this way, like that there was just this ray of God that came into my heart. And it came from the influence of God. It's the divine influence of God upon my heart. And then that divine influence will reflect in the area of my life that needs it. It's the divine influence of God upon my heart. And then I like to say this, and its reflection in the necessary area of my life. That there's a necessary area of my life that needs a change. There's a necessary area in my life that needs a touch of God. That needs the divine influence of God. So when grace is imparted to me, then it's the divine influence of God upon my heart. And then its reflection, not my reflection, not my work, not my prayer, not my doing, not my saying, not my... It's the reflection of that divine influence of God upon that necessary area. And how many know, if the divine influence of God is released on your behalf, it's going to do something.
Yeah.
It's going to make a difference. It's going to make a change. I'm telling you, what we need more of and more of is the divine influence of God in our lives. And that reflection. Because what God does becomes complete. Yeah. What God does is perfect. What God does will last through all eternity. I'm going to get more excited about this than you are this morning. I can see that already. So y'all just sit there while I have a party about grace this morning. Because I love this. It's the divine influence of God upon my heart. Say that with me. It's the divine influence of God upon my heart. And then say this. And its reflection in the necessary area of my life. And its reflection in the necessary area of my life. Now in a few moments we're going to talk about how we get grace. How do we obtain grace? And when we do that, we're going to think about these things. We're going to think about the fact that it's the divine influence of God upon my heart and its reflection in the area of my life. Okay, definition number two.
Actually, three.
Okay, grace, yeah, it's number three. It's God's ability in you to do what you don't have the ability to do. Now, how many need some of that?
Yeah.
Amen? I need some of the ability of God to do in me what I don't have the ability to do. Because I'm telling you guys, and I'm thankful that Pastor has taught me this in the last several weeks, that failure is an event, not a person. But there's been some things in my life that my ability brought some failure. There's some things in my life that my ability brought me to a dead end. There's some things in my life that my ability brought me to disappointment, to discouragement, to out and out flesh sin.
Yeah.
But what I need more of is the ability of God to do in me what I don't have the ability to do.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
My pastor, when I was in Nashville, Tennessee, Pastor Charles Cowan taught on grace. And this was the definition he gave us. And actually, from the Amplified Bible, verses 8 and 9 of Ephesians says this pretty much. He just made it a little bit more simple to understand. God's ability in me to do what I don't have the ability to do. That's what grace is. The day I got saved, God's ability did something on the inside of me that I didn't have the ability to do. It changed me. And when grace begins to work in our lives, that's exactly what's flowing. It's the divine influence of God upon my heart, its reflection in my life. When we leave this place, you're going to remember these three things because I'm going to repeat them so much. Then you're going to say, is he going to say that again? I'm going to say it again. Because I want it to become so embedded on the inside of our heads that eventually we'll get it into our spirits. And it'll become like nature to us. That we understand how the grace of God works. How the grace of God happens. Now, faith is important, as I said a while ago. Faith is important to understand. The Word says we walk by faith. The Word says without faith it's impossible to please God. The Word says we live by faith. So faith is important. There are some things in our lives that faith won't change. There are some things in our lives that faith won't change. There are people today who've tried to use their faith to deal with chronic problems and they've never gotten victory. Now listen to this. Are you saying, well, say, Mike, are you against faith? No. This is all going to come and make sense. And I believe there's some people today that's going to get a word that's going to help you where you've never had help before. Faith is important. We walk by faith. The just shall live by faith. Faith is something we've got to do. As a matter of fact, this past week, faith rose up, maybe it's not this past week, maybe it's last week. Faith rose up in Michelle and she says, I'm gonna do this. And there comes a point sometimes when we have to say, bless God, I don't care what it feels like, I don't care what it seems like, I don't care what it looks like, I'm gonna trust God and I'm gonna get up and go. I'm gonna get up and move. This past week in my job, I was getting discouraged. And then all of a sudden, I started encouraging myself. And I said, Mike, you can't stop. You can't give up. You can't quit. You got to get up and go. And sometimes faith is you just take that step and keep going. And faith is great. But there are things in every one of our lives that you can faith, man, you can speak, you can confess, you can do everything you know to do, and you're not seeing change. You're not seeing change. I'm 50 years old. There's some things in my life that faith has not worked on. But our God is so generous.
Yes.
Our God is so awesome that He says, okay, faith didn't work. Let me show you something else I've already done for you. And something else I'm going to release on you. It's my unmerited favor. It's my divine influence in your heart. And its reflection in the necessary area of your life. It's the ability of God to do in you what you've never had the ability to do. Now that ought to start speaking some freedom for some folks.
Yes, it does.
That ought to start speaking some freedom for some folks. It's like this. Oh, anybody got a quarter in their pocket? Or any coin.
Yeah,
I need a coin. Here's a penny.
All right.
Hey. 99, 100 of these makes a dollar. It still does. Always will. Okay, well, hopefully it will. But anyway, on this penny, on this side, there's a head. That's a picture. That's Abraham Lincoln, right? Okay, on the back side is the Lincoln Memorial. Do you know that if I picked up this penny and that Lincoln's head's on there, but the memorial is not, that this piece of thing is worth nothing? It's called not legal tender. If it's blank on one side, it's not legal tender. But with both things that are supposed to be on this, it's legal tender. I think in the life of a Christian that there's two parts of God in order for us to see and to experience all that God has for us. There are two things that we've got to have operating in our life in order for us to understand the truth of God. And that is that we understand faith and that we understand grace. And understanding faith and understanding grace brings a revelation in our life that in our lives that causes God to bring us from where we are to where He has for us. I want to be in the legal tender of God. I want to be right where God has for me, doing what God has for me.
Yes.
Turn with me to Luke chapter 2. And we're going to look at verses 39 and 40. Now this is when Jesus was with His mom and dad, and they had gone down where He had already been through the birth process, and He was growing, and things were happening, and then he was growing up and some things were happening in his life and he was talking and people were listening to what Jesus had to say. Look at this in Luke chapter 2 verse 39. It says this: when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. This is Mary and Joseph and Jesus. And look at verse 40. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom. And look at this. And the grace of God was upon him. So if the grace of God was upon Jesus, what was upon him? The unmerited favor of God. The divine influence of God upon his heart and its reflection in the necessary areas of his life. The ability of God to do in him what he did not have the ability to do. Who is our number one example in life? Jesus. Jesus. If it was necessary for the grace of God to be upon Jesus, how much more is it necessary for the grace of God to be upon you and I? Now, Jesus came to this earth as a man. And he lived just as you and I do. And he knew something. He needed the grace of his Father. So do we. We need the grace of God. We need a revelation in our lives of the unmerited favor of God. I need a revelation in my life of the divine influence of God upon my heart and its reflection in the necessary area of my life. I need a revelation in my life of the ability of God to do in me what I don't have the ability to do. I'm 50 years old, y'all, and I'm learning every day there's a whole lot of things I don't have the ability to do. I have made it become more and more apparent. There were times when I thought I could do it. There were times when I thought I could handle whatever I needed to handle. There were times that I thought, well, you know, I can get by this. I can make this happen. And life proved I can't do it. Except for the grace of God, there go I. Amen?
Amen.
Except for the grace of God, I wouldn't be here today. It's the grace of God that began and the grace of God that continues. How many Christians have we seen that didn't seem to have any reflection of the love of God in their life? Many. We've been to church with those folks that, whose nose are so high in the air, if it rained, they'd drown. We've seen those people that you get around them and there's no love. There's nothing happening there. Church, that's a person who has a lack of grace. It's the grace of God that gives you the ability to love me. Because there's times when I'm not very lovable. There's times when I don't act like I need to act. I don't act like it either. But we must not only have the faith of God operating, we need to have the grace of God operating. And there's one place in Scripture that tells us that we receive the grace of God. Look with me at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. I love this Scripture. We could camp out here and probably finish out the morning here. We're not going to. I've got a couple more things I need to say. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. I'm telling you, it would behoove you to write this down and put it in the car, and put it on the refrigerator, put it on the mirror, whatever it is that you can see the Scripture and help it remind you where it is that we actually, what it is we actually do, where it is we actually go in order to receive the grace of God. Because you see, this morning, we were all at a place to receive the grace of God. We're, today being here, we're at a place to receive the grace of God. Verse 16 says this, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." The Amplified says this, "Let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to us, sinners, that we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time for every need, appropriate help and well-timed help coming just when we need it." That's where we find grace, is at the throne of grace. Now, I've been in circles in my past that took that phrase, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace." I've actually seen people that have felt like that scripture gives them the right or the freedom to get in God's face and tell him what to do. That's arrogance. That's not boldness. That's arrogance. The thing I've learned about God is as my children come to me, if they came to me in arrogance, they're not going to get very far. But when they come to me with humility and respect and honor as a father, then don't you know that there's whatever I have the potential to do for them, I'll do it. How much more as we come boldly to the throne of grace? The word boldly, I guess, gets translated from some folks to almost be arrogance. But you see, what we need to understand is because of what Christ did, we have access to the throne. We have access to the throne. So I can come with confidence to the throne, not because of what Mike's done, because of what Jesus did. And so because of what Jesus did, I have access to the throne of grace. When we come together in praise and worship, and they begin to lead us in the music, and we begin to sing, do you know we all step into the throne room? What an incredible thing that is to me. When we begin to obey God, when you're at home and you just begin your morning with, good morning, Lord, do you know when you say that, you have instant access to the throne room? Isn't that incredible? Do you know that before Jesus, people didn't have that ability? There was a couple of priests that did, and even some of them found out that they weren't ready to get there. But because of Jesus, you and I have instant access to the throne of God. Wow. He must really love you. He must really love you. He must really love me. Because He gives me instant access. And as I approach the throne of grace, and I approach with confidence, I approach freely. I approach openly. This is what these are the words that the concordance gave me about the word boldness. It's consistent, freely, openly, plainly. I can come to the throne of grace. Because of Jesus, I have access to the throne of grace. Now, the world, religion, and the devil will tell you can't get there.
That's true. Right.
But you know, thank God we have 1 John 1:9 that says if we are faithful to confess our sin, if we will confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
He does that.
Yeah.
And it didn't happen just once. It happens every day for me.
Amen.
He cleanses me from my unrighteousness. And I then have instant access to the throne of grace.
Yeah.
So when I get up in the morning and I say, good morning, Lord, I'm at the throne room. Sometimes I don't feel like it. Sometimes it don't look like it. Sometimes circumstances are screaming louder than I could possibly imagine. But that doesn't hinder my faith that I understand I'm stepping into the throne room of God. And every time we step into the throne room of God, the Word says we find grace. What do we find? We find the unmerited favor of God. When you step in the throne room, you find the divine influence of God upon your heart. And its reflection in your life. When you step in the throne room, you find the ability of God to do on the inside of you what you don't have the ability to do. Wow. When we gather corporately and we begin to praise and worship and we get our minds off of the world, our minds off of who's standing next to us, our mind off of what Sister Doodad or Mr. Whatever is doing, and we get our minds on God, we are stepping into the throne room of God, and it's like there's a rain of grace happening corporately. There's a rain of grace happening corporately. Now, on in my notes, I found, and you can find this in the New Testament, there are churches that had particular graces upon them. I've been praying this week, Lord, what is the grace of God in the Landline Church? I did get one. Sometimes I think there's more, sometimes a lot more than just one. But I believe there is one grace here, and that there is a grace of family.
Amen.
There's a grace. I don't know about you guys, but I've been in a church that there was no family atmosphere. I've been there. I've been around Christians that, you know, you saw them on Sunday morning, and you didn't hear anything from anybody until the next Sunday morning. But there's a grace here. What does that mean? That there's an ability of God to do in this house what we don't have the ability to do in the area of being a family. There's a divine influence of God upon this house that is reflected in the necessary area for us to be able to be family. We're not moved by color. We're not moved by socioeconomic status. We're not moved by who's got what and who don't have anything. We're here as brothers and sisters in the Lord. And that's refreshing to me. There's a grace in this house. It started from the top. It's continuing to flow. It's flowing from the pastor. It's flowing into the body. And that grace you can depend upon. It's a good thing to have. And I think it was the Corinthian church. They had a grace to give. I like that grace. Because you know what? You can't outgive God. And that's a neat thing about grace. And that's a neat thing about understanding this about God. Is when you step into the throne room, I think God sits on the edge of the throne waiting for us to come to Him. He designed you to come to Him. And He's waiting. And when you come to Him, He's like, okay, now you come. He says, I'm going to give you something more because you're never going to outgive me because I'm your Father and I love you. And I want to see you come into all that I have for you. So when you come to me, Samima, I'm just going to, this is what God says, not Mike says, but God says, Samima, because you came to me, I'm going to put in you my ability to do what you don't have the ability to do. And you didn't even know that's what you were there for. See, I don't go to the throne room to get. I go to the throne room to see. To see my Father. And as I go to the throne room, because I step in that place, the divine influence of God comes upon my heart. And it begins to reflect in the necessary area. And all I did was love Him. Father, I just come to see you. Lord, I just come to spend some time with you. Lord, I just want to be with you. Driving down the street. Lord, I could get my mind on a million things, but I just want to keep my mind on you.
Amen.
And He says, grace. I've got a little bucket in my filing cabinet when I used to teach on grace. I used to carry this bucket around. Because it was just like, I just, one day in prayer, I just saw God. It was like God was just pouring out grace. And I could just feel the grace of God pour down upon my life. And I wasn't there to get it, but because I was there, I got it.
Amen.
And when you begin to praise and worship God, when you begin to talk to Him, when you begin to read the Word, not out of habit, but out of relation. When you begin to read the Word of God out of relationship, we're stepping to learn. We're trying to figure things out. We're just wanting to love Him. We're just wanting to admire Him. We're just wanting to exalt Him. We're just wanting to lift up His name. And He says, well, okay, come on, but I've got something for you. You're never going to outgive me. I'm going to pour out upon your life the divine influence of God and its reflection in the necessary area of your life. I'm going to pour out upon you my ability to do in you what you don't have the ability to do. The first time I began to think about that, I began to think about some areas in my life that I've struggled with and I could not seem. I have believed God. I've prayed. I've fasted. I've spoke to men and women of God that could speak into me. I read books. I read scriptures. I put little scriptures everywhere and I'd quote those scriptures, trying my best to break through in this area to get some freedom. And it wasn't happening.
Yeah.
And then I began to understand the grace of God. And I began to see liberty like I've never seen it before. I began to see there's an answer. That what I could not by faith accomplish, the grace of God was more than able to accomplish. Or is more than able to accomplish. The grace of God will do what we don't have the ability to do. You see, in and of ourselves, we don't have the ability to heal the sick. In and of ourselves, we don't have the ability to cast out demons. And how many know? We're told to cast out demons. In and of ourselves, we don't have what it takes to get through next week. But when we're found faithful at the throne of grace, something is coming alive on the inside of us that will bring us through whatever God requires of us. Turn with me to John chapter 1 and verse 14. Is that where I am?
Yeah.
Of course, again, it's talking about Jesus here. And it says this, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Look at this, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. So evidently, grace can be measured. And Jesus knew something. And he knew that as He would go to the throne of grace, and as He would go to the Father, and how many times do we have places in the Scripture where we find that Jesus set Himself apart? He would go away. You know, one of the greatest things or most awesome things to me is that when John the Baptist was beheaded, we find in Scripture immediately when Jesus heard of John the Baptist being beheaded, it said that He pulled Himself away. See, grief was coming. Something happened. You know, John the Baptist was Mary's cousin's mother. So probably the two of them knew each other. And John the Baptist was the one that heralded Jesus' ministry. John the Baptist was the one that baptized Jesus. And when the word says that when Jesus heard of what happened to John the Baptist, that he pulled himself away. I believe Jesus went to that place to be alone with the Father, because he needed God to do something in him that in the flesh and in the natural he didn't have the ability to do. There was a time, there was a night when Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane. And he cried out, "Father, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." And the scriptures doesn't tell us how much time went on in there, but I believe between "if it's possible, let this cup pass from me," and then what happened right after that, that there was a time when Jesus received, because he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine." Because the grace of God did something in him that just a few seconds before he really didn't want to do. The grace of God was a divine influence upon his heart, and it reflected him. He said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine." And there's some folks in this room today, you're at that place. We're at that place of, "You know, Lord, it should be nice if I didn't have to do this. Should be nice if you just do something and me not have to go through what it is I got to go through." There's some of us saying, "You know, Lord, I wish my bills were different. You know, Lord, I don't know about what's going to happen with my job or lack of job. I don't know what's going to happen with my body. I'm getting all these symptoms. And you know, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen. If, you know, if it be possible, you know, if you just let this cup pass from me." But then when we come to the throne room, the ability of God comes upon our heart. And then we say, "Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." And then we find the ability of God to carry us through. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me." And then we find the ability of God, the divine influence of God. I want to get to this last definition here if I don't get too ahead of myself. This is a good one here. Set it up there, Pastor.
Number four?
Yeah. Not the definition, the next thing that's supposed to come up.
I thought it was number four.
Here it is. Faith changes things. Look at this. Grace changes me. If you don't get anything else I say, you get this. It's going to make major difference in your life.
It will, that. Yes, it will.
See, the word says that you can speak to the mountain and it'll be removed. Faith calls those things that be not as though they were. Now let me just say this, I'm just a little bit sidetracked here. Faith does not call things that be as though they are not. That's a lie. Let me say that again.
Hammer that one.
Faith does not call things that be as though they are not. If you've got a temperature, saying I don't have a temperature is a lie. Yes. Faith calls those things that be not as though they were. So what do you say when you got a temperature? "I thank my God that He is my healer." That He is, what is Jehovah what?
Jehovah Jireh.
Jehovah Jireh. The Lord, my healer. When I have lack of peace, I thank God He is Jehovah Shalom. I'm calling those things that be not as though they were. Because in the natural, again, we're getting back to what I said last time I got to preach, is there's a difference between fact and truth. Facts say all kinds of things, but the truth is greater. And if I know what the truth says above my fact, but you see, faith changes things. When this became revelation to me, life started making a difference.
Yes, it does. Yes, it will.
Faith changes things. It's necessary that I walk by faith. But the grace of God, the what of God, the unmerited favor of God, the divine influence of God upon my heart and its reflection in the necessary area of my life, the ability of God to do in me what I don't have the ability to do will change me. And I don't know about you guys, but this boy needs some changing. This boy needs some changing. And I've loved God. I was 20 years old when I got saved. I'm 50 years old. You'd think I'd be further down the road than this. It's because I didn't let God do His perfect work in me. I didn't let the grace of God do in me what I didn't have the ability to do. There have been things I tried to do on my own. Still try sometimes. What does it take to get through this? It takes the grace of God. It takes the grace of God. Faith changes. Say this with me. Faith changes things. Grace changes me. Now say that again. Faith changes things. Grace changes me. Now close your eyes and say that. Faith changes things. Grace changes me. I'm telling you, I'll say that every day this week. At least 16,000 times. We all ought to. And so when I come against something that's going on in my life and I don't know how to deal with it, well, if it's a thing, then I'm going to speak to it. But if it's Mike, Lord, I'm coming to the throne room of God. Amen. Father, I'm just going to come spend some time with you. Amen. I just need to be with you, Lord. I just want to take some time just to tell you how much I love you and how great you are. I just want to spend some time with you, Lord. I just want you to know that I believe in you with all my heart. I believe in you way more than I believe in me. I just want to spend time. And you know, when you do that, the grace of God is applied to your life. You find grace. You find, here it comes, the unmerited favor of God. You find the divine influence of God upon your heart and its reflection in the necessary area of your life. You find the ability of God to do in you what you don't have the ability to do. Wow. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. He's so incredible. In Acts chapter 4. I skipped this one. Look at Acts chapter 4. I apologize, I didn't have any of your notes. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 33, it says this, "And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus." Look at this. "And great grace was upon them all." Just think about that. What does that mean? It means great ability of God to do in them what they didn't have the ability to do. Great divine influence of God upon their heart and its reflection in their life. Great unmerited favor of God was upon them all. See, that speaks to us corporately. As we come together, there's a great grace that comes upon us. There's a great grace in this place today. As we press through life, we press through the week, we come together in our praise and our worship, we come together in agreement in our prayer, we come together in our giving, and then we come together in our hearing. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we come into a place of hearing. There's a great grace that's released upon us. A great ability of God. I'll tell you, if they don't light your fire, your wood's wet.
That's exactly right.
That's an exciting thing to understand. And I realize that some of this is brand new for a lot of folks, and you're trying to take it in. And I've been teaching this for several years now, and it just stirs on the inside of me. I love hearing it myself. Because when I leave this place, I'm going to be thinking about it. I've been thinking about it all week long as I've been preparing and praying and thinking about these things. These apostles were all together. They were all in one accord. They were sitting there, and the Bible says, great grace. It's one thing to say, Lord, I need your grace. It's another thing to say, Lord, I'm thankful that great grace is available right now. Amen. Woo! I don't know about you guys, but I need some great grace. Amen. Okay. Let's look at Zechariah chapter 4, last scripture. If you go to the last book in the Old Testament and turn left, you'll find Zechariah eventually. Now here's Zerubbabel, and the priests were there, and they were trying to rebuild the temple. And while they were trying to rebuild the temple, they were coming against some obstacles. And in Zechariah chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, it says this. So he answered and said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? You shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it." Now let me read this out of Amplified. "For who are you, O great mountain of human obstacles? Before Zerubbabel, who with Joshua had led the return of the exiles from Babylon, was undertaking the rebuilding of the temple before him, you shall become a plain obstacle. You shall become a plain, a mere molehill. And he shall bring forth the finishing gable of stone of the new temple with loud shoutings of the people, crying, 'Grace, grace to it.'" They were having obstacles about getting the temple finished. And the prophet of God stands and says, "I'm telling you what, this is what the Lord is speaking. That, yeah, you've had obstacles. Yeah, there's some things in your life that have been holding you back. Yeah, there's some things in your life that seem like they're bigger than God. Yeah, there's some things that are going on that doesn't look like you're going to be able to get through it. But what are you obstacle compared to the grace of God? You shall become a plain," then he says, "a mere molehill." And you know why I think he said that? I was thinking about that. A plain is just where it's flat. But have you ever stepped on a molehill? Because you see, when you step on a molehill, it goes down further than the flatness. Hallelujah. "You shall become a plain, a mere molehill. I'm going to step on you and I'm going to crunch you down. I'm going to push you down further than just the natural way things are. Because you shall become a plain, a mere molehill. We're going to get this temple built," he says. Well, guess what temple's being built today? You. You're the temple of God. And that temple is going to be built if it takes every one of us looking at you and shouting, "Grace, grace to you." Because when we're shouting grace, what are we shouting? We're shouting the operational power of God. We're shouting the divine influence of God upon your heart. And it's reflected in the necessary area of God. We're shouting the ability of God to do in you what you don't have the ability to do. Hallelujah. I need y'all to shout grace at me.
Grace.
Hallelujah. You know what we need to do some Sunday mornings when the Spirit leads you to do this, Pastor? Is we need to point ourselves. I'm so ahead of myself, I'm just going to say it in tongues and y'all get it in the natural, okay? We need to stand up and face the city of Charlotte and we need to shout grace, grace to this city.
Yeah.
We need to turn toward this community over here. We need to shout grace, grace to this community. We need to stand the halls up here like we did last week. And we need to shout grace, grace to them. Because you see, you and I have been filling up on grace every time we've been at the throne room of God. If grace comes, grace goes. How does it go? Because we begin to see the divine influence of God. And its reflection in our life. We see the ability of God doing what we don't have the ability to do. And he said the people are going to come. They're going to see that temple built. Because the people got together. And they began to shout grace. You know, instead of when somebody leaves you and say, "Y'all be careful." Say, "Hey, grace." I'm telling you, don't tell me be careful. Shout grace to me. Release on my behalf the unmerited favor of God. Release on my behalf the divine influence of God upon my heart and its reflection in the necessary area of my life. Release on my behalf the ability of God to do what I don't have the ability to do. Last definition is this. Dr. Roy Hicks Sr., I had the privilege of once, about twice a year, sitting under his ministry. He taught on grace one day, and this was the scripture he used, and this is the definition he gave us. Is that grace is the operational power of God. My. Grace is the operational power of God. Let me say a couple things about this word operational. If something's operating, guess what? It works.
Yes.
If something's operating, it works. Now, I am not somebody who can fix hardly anything. I mean, I have to pray to get a hot dog to do right in the microwave. I don't know about you guys, but I need the operating power of God in my life. But as I begin to meditate on this, and I begin to think about the operational power of God, I begin to think on it this way. God, there's some places in me that need some surgery. I need the ability of God operating on me to do what mine doesn't have the ability to do. I need the operational power of God. God, there's some things in me that's going to take some surgery, some major surgery. And I need the operational power of God. I need God doing in me what I don't have the ability to do. What Dr. Roy Hicks Sr. told us that day, and there were about 1,000 of us standing in that congregation. He had us stand. We were all in Nashville, Tennessee. And he asked the pastor, he said, well, where's the seat of government? Which way do we face the seat of government in Nashville? And Nashville is the capital of Tennessee. And so the 1,000 of us stood. And he said, I want everybody to point your hands toward the seat of government of Nashville, Tennessee. And 1,000 of us began to shout grace. We began to shout the operational power of God toward the city, the seat of government of the state of Tennessee. We began to shout grace, grace to it. There were some things that happened in the natural right after that. You can say, well, we certainly could not take any of the credit. Thank you. Credit for it. But you began to think, God, you're doing something. You're doing something. And it was about a year after that. We had a praise and worship conference in our church. And a year after that, shouting grace to the seat of government and to the Opera House, we had a praise and worship conference in our church. Ricky Skaggs was there. All these stars, all these country music stars were there. Barbara Fairchild was there. What a great move of God happened in her life in that thing. We began to see God do some things in the country music industry. And that was just incredible. People were getting saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. A lot of incredible things started happening. Well, that's great for them, and that's great for the city of Nashville. But there's some people in this room today, you need the grace of God. I need the grace of God. I need the operational power of God. I need the ability of God doing in Mike what Mike obviously does not have the ability to do. I need the divine influence of God upon my heart and its reflection in the necessary area of my life. As Pastor began to teach us on this board, he wrote those circles. And there was how many think of the order? In the middle is
heart.
Is the heart. The next circle
thought.
Is our thoughts. The next circle
feelings.
Is our feelings. You remember all this? You're good. The next circle
body.
Is our body. The next circle?
Social context.
Is our social context. The next
and soul.
And our soul. We need the grace of God operating in every aspect.
Every area, yeah.
I need the grace of God working on my heart. I need the grace of God working on my mind, obviously. Hang out with me a little bit. You'll say, Mike, there's some unrenewed areas in your mind. I need the grace of God. Obviously, in my body, there's some need for grace. The pastor said to me last time, he said, why did you wear a coat? I said, because I'm trying to hide my fat. He said, it didn't work. But anyway.
That was my unregenerated.
There's an area in every one of those areas. We need the unmerited favor of God.
Yeah.
We need the divine influence of God upon our heart, yeah. Our mind, our soul, and its reflection in that area. We need the ability of God doing in us what we don't have the ability to do. We need the operational power of God. Faith changes things. Grace changes me. There's an answer. Somebody's starting to see for the first time in many, many, many years. There's the door, Lord. And all I got to do is come to you. Not arrogantly, but you can come to the throne room with confidence. Because you can't get there in and of your own merit. You get there because of what Jesus did.
Exactly.
It lets you know a little bit more how great his sacrifice was for you and for me. We have instant access to the throne room. Instant audience with the Creator. He loves you so much. He created this entire world, all the things that are in it. He created everything that is. And he's so awesome and he's so wonderful. But he desires an audience with you. With you. And with you. He desires a face-to-face talk. I shared with you last time I preached that we had a friend of mine that said to me, he said, "Micah, I don't know how to pray." I said, "Just talk to God like you talk to me." He says, "Don't, aren't there some other things I got to get right? Aren't there some other things I got to do? I mean, you know, how do I know that God's going to hear me?" I said, "Man, you step toward Him, you get His total attention." Mm-hmm. And because you do that, He says, "Grace." Mm-hmm. Wow. We come in here and begin to sing those songs. The band begins to play. And we begin to sing those songs. Father God is going, "Grace." We begin to worship. The dancers begin to dance. Father God says, "Grace." We begin to clap our hands. Father God says, "Grace." We begin to pray for those that are in need, for those that are struggling, for those that are dealing with difficulties. Father God says, "Grace." We begin to listen to the Word of God. Father God says, "Grace." Then we leave this place. And church, I say this with as much earnestness as I can actually stir in my heart. If we're not, through the week, finding ourselves in the face of the Father, then what we're doing here on Sunday is just a performance and it's not going anywhere. Yes. What we do here should just be a release of what we've done all week long. Then I get up in the morning and I say, "Good morning, Lord." Yes. And then we come in here together and we say, "Good morning, Father." That I get up in the week and I begin to sing unto the Lord. I encourage you. Take the book of Psalms. Find some encouraging psalms. And just begin to sing them unto the Lord. Just begin to sing them. My mama has one note. She's a monotone singer. She has no more than one note. That's all the woman's got. But I can remember as a little boy sitting at the table. Well, we were eating lunch because at Mama's house, you got 3 hot meals a day. And at lunch during the summer, we would sit there at the table. Mama would be at the kitchen doing dishes. She raised 4 youngins. She was always at the kitchen doing something. And I can remember Mama singing her one note to the Lord. It's all she had. Don't you know the Word says it doesn't come up to Him as a sound. The Word says it comes up to Him as a fragrance. So if all you've got is one note, then bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. When you're in your car, turn off that radio. Begin to sing unto the Lord. Or find you some good worship music and begin to sing unto the Lord. Find you something. Begin to sing unto the Lord. Just love on Him. "I love you more than anything. I love you. More than anything, I love you. Lord, I give my life to you. I praise you. You're the Holy One. I praise you. You're the Holy One. I praise you. Lord, I give my life to you." I'm just singing to Him. You know what He's saying? Grace. What a God we serve. "I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. He says grace. What's he saying? He's saying unmerited favor. He's saying divine influence of God Almighty upon your heart and its reflection in the necessary area. What's he saying? He's saying the ability of God to do in you what you don't have the ability to do. What's he saying? He's saying the working, operational power of God. And you see, when we've been tanking up on that all week long, and we come in here and somebody's had a week of struggle. Somebody's had a week when they just couldn't get to the throne room because they're just that discouraged. You ever been there? Somebody's had a week when the week has been way bigger than it seemed like God could be. And then we all come in here and we all start imparting by speaking the operational power of God. Then we find something happening on the inside of us that we didn't have the ability to do all week long. You know, church, people think that scripture that says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. Some people think that, well, that's just me having to do another duty under the Lord. No, it's not. It's a place where you and I can be to receive the grace of God. I need it. And there's a grace in this house for family. There's a grace in this house to do in you and me what we don't have the ability to do. Let's stand. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Yes, grace of God. Grace of God. Just let the grace of God work. Amen. Father, we come to you now. As a group of people, Lord, that can just say to you, we love you. We love you. We bless you. We thank you for your ability, your divine influence, your operating power, your unmerited favor. We thank you for all of it. We thank you, Lord, that from this day forward, we understand faith changes things, grace changes me. And we'll never be the same. Lord, there are folks in this room today that need a move of God. And to each one of them, I speak grace. 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 And I thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
With our heads continue to be bowed, a moment of reverence before God. There's not a one of us in this room for whom grace doesn't need to change me. So why don't you just bring that area to your mind? Maybe even an area that has been something you didn't want to admit to, or something you just got discouraged with and just don't want to deal with it anymore. But we've been reignited this morning. We now understand that faith changes things, but grace changes me. And that the great grace of God will carry me through. So whatever that area is that's in your life today, just bring it to your mind's eye. Look at it eye to eye. And speak grace. 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 And the mountain will be made into a molehill as we speak grace. Grace over that area of our lives. Grace. Grace over our lives.
Thank you, Lord.
Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but
We thank you, God, that by your grace you open up our eyes to see that which we have never seen before.
Thank you, Lord.
To experience your grace upon our lives. We give you honor. We give you glory. In Jesus' name. Just. And I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ears. I love you, and I give my all to you. Thank you for your grace over us, O God.
Hallelujah for your grace, O God. We thank you, O God, for your favor over our lives. Thank you, God, for your favor over our lives.
Thank you, Jesus.
That you show us great favor, O God. You look beyond my fault and you see my need, O God, and you offer me great favor, O God. We thank you, O God, for your reflection on my heart. Into the necessary parts of my life, O God. I thank you for that reflection. Thank you, O God, for that reflection. Thank you, O God. Thank you for your ability to do in me what I don't have the ability to be able to do, O God. Thank you for your ability in my life, O God, in the areas where I've given up. Thank you for your ability in my life in the areas where I've just quit. Thank you for your ability in my life in the areas where it seems so hopeless. Thank you, O God, for your ability in my life. Thank you to do what I was unable to do. And by your Spirit, O God, operate. Be the power that operates inside of me, O God. With your grace, your great grace, your mighty grace, your grace, grace over our lives. We thank you, O God, for grace. For your Son, Jesus, who brought us your grace. For your Spirit that pours your grace over us. May we be grace-filled people. And may that, O God, that we have freely received, may we freely give your grace away to a hurt and a dying world. We thank you, God, for your grace in our lives. In Jesus' name.